Welcome to another Stanlib podcast. My name's Dave Watson, and I'm one of the investment specialists for Stanlib Asset Management. Today, I'm chatting to Sylvester Kobo, who is the deputy head of our fixed income franchise and also the manager of the Stanlib Flexible Income Fund. We're going to spend a little bit of time chatting about the views of the team during the fourth quarter of last year and how the fund, specifically the Stanlib Flexible Income Fund, did during that quarter. Sly, it's always great to chat to you and appreciate your time and insights. If we go into the first question, you know, looking at the quarter and bearing in mind that a quarter is a very short period to look at, but if you consider this period of time within the Stanlib Flexible Income Fund, could you give us some key reflections from yourself and the team, anything that stood out from your perspective in terms of the quarter at the end of last year?
Hi, Dave, and greetings and best wishes to our clients for the year ahead. The final quarter of 2024 was tough for risk assets in general, and bonds globally took pain as well. And you know, this was largely on the back of nervousness around Trump's elections as the next US president. The general market view was that his policies could potentially hurt global growth and bring back inflation for the US. So, you know, most of South African assets sold off in the quarter. And given the positioning in the flexible income fund, we gave back some of the gains that we had made post the GNU. So the fund returned 1.7% in the quarter, which was 50 basis points shy of benchmark returns. But still, for the year as a whole, the fund did very well, returning 13.4% compared to a benchmark return of 9.3%, which is an excellent outcome for our clients.
Yeah, so Mr. I guess I'd agree with you on that one. Really a remarkable outcome from you and the team. And I guess specifically within this mandate, what you're trying to achieve is think about how through these tactical allocation views, you can harvest opportunities, but at the same time, manage the risks on behalf of our clients. So with that in mind, I think perhaps you could just spend a moment chatting to us about what are the current opportunities that you're seeing that you can capture within the Flexible Income Fund?
For us at the moment, you know, many asset classes are still screening well from a valuations point of view. You know, if you look at the, say, US bonds, the 10-year bond yield is yielding around 4.5%, which is around the top end of the recent yield ranges. To local bonds and property, which are also screening well, given the constructive fundamental picture for SA. Inflation locally is low at the moment at 3%, which is funny enough in line with the US inflation. And we expect it to average 3.5% in the first half of 2025, which means rate cuts are still very much on the table for us. I mean, the current interest rate stance of the Reserve Bank is restrictive and it's slowing growth. So the team expects them to cut for 2025 in total about 2 to 3 times, you know, as the fundamentals, local fundamentals support that. But we can't ignore global uncertainties, especially around US policy and politics, which can heighten volatility in the short to medium term.
And so I think you've touched on it there in terms of, you know, the geopolitics, et cetera, that I'd play. And I think it speaks to the fact that we're going to see a very dynamic market during the course of this year as a lot of those things settle and we see how they play out. But I mean, outside of that, are there any other key risks that you and the team are thinking about at the moment?
Yeah. I mean, for over the last, call it 6 to 8 months, South African story has been positive and it's expected to get better, especially for fixed income. Growth is expected to increase to about 2% this year from below 1% last year. And inflation is low, as I said earlier. The GNU or the politics, you know, is slowly maturing and delivering. And the fiscal picture is getting better and better, which in our minds could lead to credit ratings upgrades in the near term. So not much from a local point of view that's keeping us awake. You know, as you mentioned, it's a global picture that's worrisome for us, especially the US. This new administration comes with a lot of noise and uncertainties. And we unfortunately have to react to all these shifts on a weekly basis. You know, these days a simple tweet can literally mess up your performance in the portfolio. So we are going to have to be cautious and nimble in our approach to markets this year as some of these factors play out. For us, it's more probably going to be one of those years where we keep positioning light and, you know, we have a lot of tactical plays to try and navigate this volatility.
Yeah, thanks, Sloan. I suppose importantly, it is a market where there's a number of geopolitics, the kinds of things we can't predict, and we have to, it's a little bit of wait and see. But fortunately, you guys have the mandate to navigate that, respond as things develop, and you've proven your ability to do that in the past within this mandate. So if we just look, I mean, I must commend you and the team having in over the December period as a franchise now exceeding assets under management of 300 billion. So, I mean, really a great achievement by yourself and the team. And I think that's really just a testament to the fact that you and the team are great custodians of our clients' assets and have been over many, many years. This scale gives you a real opportunity to use that to the benefit of our clients. And I think important that maybe you can voice over the fact that, we can talk about the fact that the franchise has achieved this milestone from an assets perspective, but that actually plays to the benefit of our investors.
No, 100%, and thanks for that, Dave. It is a great milestone for the team, and thank you to our clients, for the great support and for continuously trusting us with their investments. Most of the AUM growth over the last 5 years came from the income and money market fund space, and as you know, that space is quite competitive when it comes to getting good yielding assets. Spreads have come down materially over the last 10 years or so. But what you will see is that for us, the growth in assets has not come with a sacrifice on returns. All our portfolios are performing well against benchmarks and peers. And part of it is really adherence to investment philosophy and process throughout this period. But the other part is how we use this scale to benefit our clients in the face of a competitive space for assets. We use our size to originate and negotiate lucrative deals for our clients to ensure they continue to get good returns in very challenging markets. And some of the deals that we are concluding privately with issuers, most of our smaller competitors will not get to see. They won't get to be on around the table to negotiate those deals because they require scale, which is a benefit for issuers as well. The other benefit of being the largest fixed income manager is we are part of discussions to shape the industry and protect our clients' interest. At the moment, there's a lot of regulatory changes happening. Some are, known, are in the public, most of them are not. But, Stanley Fixed Income is represented in many forums to help shape these conversations, these changes, always with our clients' interest at heart. And I guess that's where this the benefit of this some of the benefit of being a large manager comes through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's probably a great point for us to leave it for this podcast, and we can let you get back to doing what you do best, and that's managing money on behalf of our clients. To all of our clients and people, interested parties who've taken the time to listen to this podcast, we really appreciate your interest. If you'd like to further the conversation, you're welcome to obviously reach out to myself or one of the other investment specialists in your region, and we're very happy to continue the conversation. But for the time being, Sly, thank you very much for your time and your insights, and to our clients, all the best for the start of the year.